Uncensored, Unafraid, and Unstoppable. The 13th of January, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. We have kind of a strange show today. Not going to follow the regular programming guidelines because we have breaking stories that are coming out of Minnesota. Yesterday, we talked with Annie Quiner. That is the wife to Scott Quiner, who is currently in the hospital at Mercy Hospital in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. The doctors there are trying to kill him. Basically, what's happening here is the coronavirus death cult has put Scott Quiner in their progressive death camp court, and they have found him guilty of being unvaccinated. And that is punishable by execution. And so the hospital has denied him basic nutrition. They have denied his wife the right to have Scott administered with regular vitamins like vitamin C and vitamin D3. They have refused any other alternative treatments other than the very dangerous drugs that we have talked about here on the Stu Peters Show, things like remdesivir. And of course, now he is on a ventilator and has been sedated. Yesterday, we spoke with Annie about her husband's condition and her plea with the hospital. Here's part of that interview.
After I talked to them last night, they did a note, a progress note, that said that I was adamant against it, but they were still further proceeding with it against my wishes.
How can they do that? That's illegal. They're committing murder. You have the right to try, do you not?
Yes, as far as I know, I told them, no, I do not approve what you're doing. And they responded, basically, she responded back in the progress note that they basically have the authority to do this no matter what I say.
Now, as a result of what Annie said on this show, that instigated a lot of response out of you, because we are an action-based platform. We're a family. We're battle buddies in the trenches, in these foxholes, fighting this real war, an information war, a psychological war. And you activated yourselves by calling Mercy Hospital and relentlessly asking for answers. Why are you refusing to treat Scott? Why are you trying to kill Scott? In the meantime, a lot of you also called the local media here in the Minneapolis metropolitan area. They refuse to report that a medical murder is taking place. An execution has been scheduled. Aside from the fact that Annie, Scott's wife, says, no, I don't want him pulled from life support, from a ventilator, they scheduled that murder for noon today. Well, that quickly instigated the response of an attorney here in the state of Minnesota called Marjorie Holston. Marjorie Holston then teamed up with Tom Renz, who we reached out to here from the Stu Peters Show, who agreed to assist in this case. Well, now because of the pressure, at midnight last night, Annie and Marjorie received correspondence from a big, powerful law firm here in the Twin Cities metropolitan area. And that law firm is actually going to argue why Scott deserves to be murdered and executed in Mercy Hospital. Mercy Hospital is paying money to Frederickson and Byron law firm to actually defend a position that justifies the murder of an otherwise healthy middle-aged man. There are a lot of moving parts here. We talked to Thomas Renz earlier today, and here's part of what he said.
But what we can do that's very effective is to combine, what we're doing in the courts with what you, the people, can do. You have the power. You need to be calling this hospital. You need to be doing all these things. Political pressure. Every single one of you needs to call your state reps in Minnesota and say, why are they murdering this person and what are you doing to stop it? The Attorney General for Minnesota should be stepping up and doing a murder investigation if he ends up passing. And if not, they should be looking into attempted murder. They should be looking into battery, all sorts of charges.
So after speaking with Thomas Renz, we spoke with several doctors who are standing by and they are willing to prescribe the necessary treatments to save Scott's life. We've also been speaking with Marjorie Holston, the attorney here in Minnesota, and she joins us now. So there has been a small victory and you've received correspondence from the court. What is this small victory exactly, and where are we with this case?
Well, what I filed was a motion for ex parte, which means without hearing, without notice to the other side, because it is so urgent, an ex parte temporary restraining order, which means stop the hospital from basically pulling the plug. And Fredrickson and Byron, I did call the hospital. I told them, be expecting this order. I don't know when I'm going to get it. The court doesn't generally move fast and everything closes at 4:30. I didn't have an order by 4:30. So I called the hospital and talked to somebody and said, watch for this order. It's going to come. And so by midnight, I received correspondence from Fredrickson and Byron saying we're opposing this motion. And they did, in fact, file a response this morning. But then shortly after that, the judge actually issued the order granting our temporary restraining order. So we won. That was a victory. It's a temporary victory because the order says that the hospital cannot pull the plug, basically, that's not the exact wording of it, until February 11th.
Okay, so they can't pull the plug until February 11th. There's going to be a hearing when?
Well, the hearing is actually February 11th, and the order lays out quite a number of different things that I have to do some research and present findings by a couple days before that. And then the other side can present their appellate, you know, their brief, and then I can respond to that. So there's different time periods.
So immediately when Fredrickson and Byron got involved, what was their initial argument to continue? And you can paraphrase here as well, but essentially, what was their position on why they find it justified to go ahead and just end the life of Scott Quiner?
Well, Stu, would you allow me to spend about 2 minutes reading two paragraphs from their response?
Because
I think their words are better than me paraphrasing.
Yeah, of course, please.
Okay, this is from defendant's response to plaintiff's motion for ex parte temporary restraining order. We like using Latin, people think we're smart and so forth.
Of course.
Mr. Quiner's medical care and treatment has been based on best available medical science and authority in consultation with specialists in compliance with Mercy's policies and procedures regarding medically non-beneficial interventions. Given that Mr. Quiner filed the instant action seeking injunctive relief yesterday, discontinuation has been stayed pending the court's ability to hear this. Goes on for a little while. But this is what they say is their argument basis. Mercy requests the court deny this motion, set the matter for hearing, and establish a schedule. Plaintiff's position, that we're the plaintiff, we filed the action to stop the hospital. Plaintiff's position is not supported by medical science or Minnesota law. And as a result, Mercy Hospital, the defendant, will ask the court to issue an order that Mercy has the authority to discontinue Mr. Quiner's ventilator and proceed with his medical care plan. And
proceed with his medical care plan. What is his medical care plan, Marjorie?
Pull the plug and let him die.
The medical care plan is to execute him and to punish him and the rest of the world for being unvaccinated. That's what this is, isn't it?
I agree with you, yes.
So they have refused what they call less than beneficial treatment, right?
And so they have absolutely refused everything that Annie has requested.
So what they call less than beneficial is all the things that they have never tried, things that have been proven to work, things that work for me personally. I'm a firsthand account. When I was diagnosed with COVID-19 or this set of symptoms being branded as such, I was treated with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and within 24 hours, my symptoms were gone. And within a week, I was back to perfectly healthy. I never stopped doing my show for the entire time that I was sick. If these things had been done for a lot of these people, and I'm assuming that there are a lot of people who've been hospitalized before they knew exactly what it was that these hospitals are actually up to. These are for-profit businesses. There are hospital administrators that aren't even medical professionals that stand to lose their job if their hospitals, their for-profit business, are not operating in the black or the green. If they slip below and they start operating the red, guess what? They lose their bonuses, they lose their jobs. And so that's what this is. This is a murder for money scheme. Why do you think it is that the media here in the Twin Cities metropolitan area just absolutely refuses to address any of this?
I don't think they want to shed light on a lot of what is going on. My own mother passed away 2 months ago, and I have been doing quite a bit of research on what went on. It was a situation very similar to what is happening to Scott Quiner. And what I learned in my research is that the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, set up, quoting Sarah Palin, the death panels, where if there's not enough health services to go around, they can, the word used in the law is attenuate, meaning they can ration healthcare and decide that, okay, we don't have enough medical care. And guess why hospitals don't have enough medical care providers? Shock what's going on there. But it's basically legal for them to decide, okay, we're going to discontinue services. We're going to pull the plug. So it's now legal according to that law to do it. And the CARES Act has made it highly profitable for hospitals to do this.
And they can deny basic nutrition, food, water even, vitamin C, vitamin D, things that have been around forever that would otherwise be used to treat any hospitalized patient who needed nutrition to battle whatever ailment they were trying to battle.
It is my personal opinion, the law doesn't give them that much authority, but we are certainly seeing that happen.
It's being
done.
And
we're fighting.
Yeah. And so there was a nurse who told Annie Quiner basically how to kill Scott. And that phone call wasn't recorded, but her firsthand witness testimony to me was that he said to her, I have ended the lives of more than 30-year-olds. And once these people do this once, and then they just keep doing it, it's like there's this psychosis that just takes over. These people are sociopaths. These people are actually hiring a law firm to fight for their right to kill a man, denying him to be discharged against medical advice. Nope, we can't have him. Okay, so they're holding him hostage. What are they, a police, a jail, a sheriff? And speaking of which, the sheriff has contacted Annie Quiner. Now, I would assume that the original call to Annie from the sheriff was trying to figure out what is going on, because we have been told that Mercy Hospital has received hundreds of thousands of phone calls from Stu Peters Show
amazing,
viewers.
And you get credit for that.
And as a result of that, the hospital then called the sheriff because they were saying they were being harassed. Great. So the sheriff calls Annie. Well, Tom Renz happened to be on the other line and they merged together. It's possible that there may now be, and if Sheriff Stewart in Anoka County, if he's a constitutional sheriff that takes the law seriously, then what's going to happen is an investigation will actually, a criminal investigation into Mercy Hospital and those care providers, it's my opinion, should be opened because Scott is now in the hands of his abuser. These are attempted murderers. Scott has been subject to assault and the suspect still remains on scene. And so it's an unsafe environment for him. In which case, the sheriff, if they're not going to remove him from that environment, should provide a protective detail, because until February 11th, how can we ensure that Scott will be safe in the care of the murderers that are trying to kill him?
That's a good question. Annie's doing everything she can to get her husband out of that. It's difficult because he has a high flow oxygen that not every facility is able to meet that particular need. She did find a place in Texas, but getting him from here to Texas is difficult. I will be contacting the sheriff to talk with them about that.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And furthermore, if the hospital would just agree to allow Scott to receive the treatment that has worked for millions of others, they wouldn't have to worry about safely transporting him because he would just get better. But that's not what they want. They want that paycheck. They want that $40,000-some-odd that they get for every ventilated COVID patient, unvaccinated in particular, dies in their care. They get huge money from the federal government. This is a big payoff. This is a big murder for money scheme. And we're going to blow the doors right off this thing. Me and you and Tom Renz and Peter McCullough and Eric Henson and Dr. Brian Artis and all of the people that are looking after Scott have all come together. This is God's plan to keep Scott safe and use him as a testimony to the rest of the world to expose this medical murder tyranny that's happening in these hospitals. And you can be a part, by the way, if you're a Stu Peters viewer, you can be a part of helping to save his life by holding these Mercy people accountable. Keep calling them. Let them know that we are watching. And keep calling these local media outlets and let them know that we are watching them and that their silence is deadly and that they also, too, shall be held accountable. Marjorie, thank you so much for being here and for everything that you're doing on short notice and fighting for Scott, because you're fighting for millions and millions of others via Scott. And I just want you to know that you're a real life hero. Thank you for stepping up. And we're sorry for the loss of your mother. God bless you.
Thank you.
The medical mafia is ripping life-saving medication off the shelves, overwhelming the system.
Well, not Phil, ivermectin for COVID.
That's against the law.
No, actually it's not.
While communist doctors are doing everything they can to withhold care from patients in need.
Vaccination, Jim, has been the solution to every major public health issue. But when you have a virus that's circulating in the community, and you are not vaccinated, you are part of the problem.
But there's hope. Dr. Stella Emanuel is saving lives with early treatments that are proven to work.
I just want to let everybody know in America, you don't have to get sick. You don't have to wait till you get sick. Everybody needs to have ivermectin hydroxychloroquine in their medicine cabinet.
Dr. Stella is taking patients today. Go to drstellamd.com and use promo code STU to book an appointment and get life-saving meds sent straight to your doorstep. No hassle, no Fauci, only compassion. drstellamd.com, promo code STU.
When they look back on the Biden administration, it'll be remembered as the age of shortages, the time where everything in America just stopped working, either through incompetence or even worse, by design. If you turn on CNN right now or listen to the White House's statements directly, and we don't recommend that you do, you'll find that they are desperately trying to change the narrative around COVID. Suddenly, CNN is saying that cloth masks don't really do much. Weird. The White House is begging schools to stay open despite all the Omicron cases. Even Dr. Fauci is suddenly admitting that there's a big difference between being hospitalized for COVID and being hospitalized with COVID. Why are they admitting all of this all of a sudden? Why is the White House suddenly eager to scale back COVID panic? Well, first of all, we're in a midterm election year, and I'm sure that they're anticipating a 100-seat sweep in the U.S. House. And also, it's because they look around and even they realize that things are falling apart. And this is all on their hands. Inflation was way higher than they ever expected. Murder and other crime went up even more last year instead of dropping back to 2019 levels. But most of all, it's the shortages. Everywhere you go, it's clear that the economy is completely broken. It's shattered. It's dead. And it's getting more broken with time, not less. If you go to your supermarket right now, in a lot of the country, the shelves are completely empty. There's no eggs, there's no chicken, there's no dairy. If you want a new car, you might have to wait a month, 2 months, 6 months, indefinitely. You might have to wait ages for a basic home improvement project because the parts are in such short supply. And then, of course, there's the labor shortage. There's no workers. You've probably seen this for yourself. Even in states where restaurants are allowed to operate normally, they can't run at full capacity or at all hours because they simply can't get enough workers. Despite higher pay, trucking companies simply can't find drivers. Schools are shutting down because too many teachers are refusing to show up. The same hospitals that, by the way, were never overwhelmed by COVID-19 are now overwhelmed because they don't have enough nurses and doctors and staff to keep the hospitals running at safe operating conditions. Nobody seems ready to address the elephant in the room that's making all of these labor shortages worse. It's these deadly bioweapon shots and the mandates forcing everyone and their brother and their pets to take them. There could very well be tens or even hundreds of thousands of Americans who aren't working or aren't able to work at full capacity because they've been injured by these dangerous and deadly bioweapon shots that the government is calling safe and effective vaccines and trying to force everyone to take. One of those vaccine-disabled Americans is Greg Pearson. Until the last 6 months, Greg was a pilot with a major airline. He received his first dose of the Pfizer vaccine last August. He went home after the shot, he went to bed, but he woke up 15 hours later with his heart pounding at 180 beats per minute. Of course, immediately he went into the ER where they diagnosed him with arterial fibrillation. The doctors got Greg stabilized and his heart rate under control, but he hasn't been able to fly since. And now a pilot looking forward to a pilot's retirement is being forced to live on disability. He, of course, never went back for the second dose of the vaccine. And by the way, in case you're wondering, they've looked up Greg's vaccine lot number, and his lot is 60th in the number of deaths that have been linked to it. Greg Pearson is that airline pilot, and he joins us now. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Stu. Thank you for having me on.
We had a pilot on the other day, and he basically came right out and said that there are dozens of pilots who have been reported dead as a result of this jab. Several have died at the controls of aircraft. This is a serious concern. Are you issuing a warning to the flying public?
Yeah, we definitely are. And Cody's kind of my brother in arms. We've been speaking about whatever we can to inform the flying public and to make it worse of what's going on. There's just so many people that have been injured and guys coming incapacitated during flight, flight attendants too, you know, so is the traveling public's up there flying around, you know, you never know when your crew could potentially be sick, become incapacitated. And, you know, I pointed out numerous times that if I was trying to land an airplane and we're at low level, and I have a sudden onset, if I stroke out or something, you know, I could just push down on the controls and before the person next to us could do anything. And, it's over a lot. So, you know, there's the Airline Pilot Association is the union that I'm a member of. There's about 60,000 plus pilots in that organization. And I've been trying to get the aeromedical portion of it to do a survey, non-identified survey, so that they can get the membership to say that they've been injured, because guys are really fearful to speak out. You know, they're worried about losing their careers and their medicals like I have. And guys are going to work with serious illness, you know, because of the vaccine. So the public definitely needs to know about this. There's kind of a denial from doctors and the unions and everybody trying to say this doesn't really happen. And it's because they're political organizations and the doctors, you know, I can't really speak to that, but for my industry, you know, it's a very political organization and they don't want people to know, obviously, that this is happening, because think what would happen to the airline industry if people knew that this was going on in the cockpits. You know, the travel would come to a screeching halt.
I don't know who in their right mind would want to get onto a plane and just roll the dice at 45,000 feet. Is my pilot going to stroke out right now? And I hadn't thought of what you said, but of course you're the pilot, so you would think about this, critically thinking. If you are at low altitudes on a final approach, and that's when everything goes, your heart pops, or you stroke out, or whatever it is, you become rendered basically unconscious or die, God forbid, at the controls. Yeah, there's not enough time for a co-pilot or for a first officer or whoever sitting next to you in the cockpit to recover that aircraft. That aircraft would not be recoverable at that point, and you've got hundreds of passengers behind you that would then unnecessarily, senselessly meet their maker.
That's correct, yeah. And I think, you know, on your show, you've shown like on how bad.info, I think, you know, showing the different lot numbers, and I sent you some latest VAERS data, and it clearly shows that, you know, about 5% of the vaccines causing 90% of the injuries and deaths. And, you know, so it seems that the longer time goes on since people have been vaccinated, the less likely there's going to be, you know, serious incidences. But, you know, with the boosters and everything going on, you know, you're basically starting the clock all over potentially. And you just never know when this is going to happen. Saying, you know, a year or 2 years later after you get this stuff. So it is, it's rolling the dice, and you just never know when time's up.
We're having a little bit of a connection issue with you, but that's understandable as we're doing these remote interviews. But I just want to, for clarification, at the beginning of the interview, I asked you, are you aware that pilots have died at the control behind major airline aircraft? Do you know? Yes or no? Do you have confirmation of that?
Nothing that I can show in writing and substantiate it. You know, there's been numerous reports from a couple of U.S. major airlines, as well as in the UK and other places in the world. I can only speak to incapacitations and serious injuries. I could potentially provide some documentation there, but, you know, the actual deaths, they're going to cover this stuff up at all costs.
They have. We reported a pilot that died, a Delta airline pilot that died in the air at the controls of the planes. And of course, the entire Mockingbird media, Yahoo and USA Today and Rolling Stone and Newsweek, all said, Stu Peters is a liar, that didn't happen. And when you read their articles, they say the reason we know it didn't happen is because Delta says that it didn't happen. And so, of course, we reached out to Delta Airlines and we said, okay, if he didn't die at the controls, then what happened on that flight? And of course, there was no response because they know what happened on that flight. That pilot died, and that pilot was recently jabbed with this so-called vaccine that has since been proven to be dangerous and extremely deadly, possibly containing graphene oxide and other things that are poisonous. Needless to say, we got to remind everybody, these are not FDA-approved shots. This Comirnaty shot is not available in the United States. And so there's a mandate from people like Scott Kirby Kirby at United Airlines, and then Insler, Todd Insler, the head of the union there, or the executive chair to United, to ALPA. You know, they're very condescending, and they're forcing these pilots to go get these shots that aren't even FDA approved. There has to be some sort of liability that these people are going to face, Kirby and others, if they're going to force their pilots, mandate them into taking an experimental shot that has now been proven to be extremely dangerous and deadly. And need I not remind everybody, almost three times as many people in 11 months have died from this one shot as every previous vaccine combined. And the flying public ought to be aware that these pilots, by and large, at these major carriers, are being mandated to take these things. And they are going to work injured, afraid to report them. As you said, just reiterating, because you were cutting out a little bit, they're going to work injured because they're afraid to report that for fear of losing their medical status for flying.
Correct. Yeah, and the public just doesn't know. I don't know. I don't see how they can't know this. This is experimental drugs. That's all there is to it. It's not a vaccine. It's gene therapy. It's you know, Merriam-Webster's dictionary last February changed their definition of what a vaccine is to incorporate, you know, this mRNA shots.
Why did you get the shot? Did you get the shot because you were mandated to get it because your employer required it?
I know they were going to mandate it, but, you know, the travel restrictions between where I live and work were pretty significant. You know, I basically felt coerced. I've never had a flu shot in my life, you know, and I did quite a bit of research and talked to some prominent doctors, cardiologists, to try to get the best information I could. But I basically felt like I had no choice without drastically altering my life. So for the first time in my life, I went against my intuition and my instincts and did it. And here I am. But, you know, these are absolutely experimental drugs. I would never knowingly do that. And here I'm lucky that I'm alive and I'm here to talk to you about it.
But yeah,
people need to wake up and understand what this really is. I sent you a document, a filing for the International Crimes Court. That's now an active case in the UK and in The Hague and the Netherlands. It's being termed, you know, term 2.0. They're trying to bring everybody that's behind all of this stuff throughout the world down. You know, this is it's labeled as, you know, crimes against humanity. And,
yeah.
And
Nuremberg 2.0. And it's not just a hashtag. It really needs to happen. There is a world case open right now. And I hope that thing presses on. We just got to keep praying and keep warning people doing exactly what it is that you're doing. I've got about 30 seconds left here, and hopefully that your internet will hold together. What is your final words for everybody? Pilots, airline executives, union heads, and passengers.
I need more guys to come forward like me and speak out and tell everybody, you know, it's just power in numbers. And then your viewers and everybody in the world, they have to get involved. They have to take an interest for themselves and for their families and everybody. You have to come together and speak out, say enough is enough. You know, the masks that we have to wear, that's a whole other story. It's causing super dire consequences to the flight crews having to wear those, you know, big health consequences. So people just got to stand up now and get involved and write to everybody that they can and just, you know, just speak out. And that's what it's going to take.
Greg Pearson.
There's not many of us, but there's millions of you.
Very brave of you to come forward. And we're sorry about everything that you're going through. Thank you for speaking out on this. And we hope that other pilots will consider your request and come forward. As far as passengers are concerned, best thing you can do is show them, hit them in the pocketbook. You're not going to fly until you are assured that the flight that you're flying on has a pilot that hasn't been jabbed and that isn't a risk of just like losing consciousness and crashing and burning into a fiery death of hell as you're on final approach. I mean, that just seems like common sense. It's hard to believe that we're in a place where you would actually have to do that. And then also lean on your elected representatives. No more federal bailout money for these airlines as they suffer because of the lack of business until you're insured that safety. Whole lot of components, a lot of working parts in this deal, but we do know that the root of all of this is at right here, the nerve center, Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. That's the root of all of these issues. Greg Pearson, thank you so much for being here. God bless you.
You're welcome, Steve. Thank you. You too.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Cancel culture has not only affected myself and MyPillow, but also millions of you out there. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you for all your support. At MyPillow, we have hundreds of products now, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, and my new beds. We are offering the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have the standard size MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regularly $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive offers. Thank you and God bless.
Last November, we spoke with Dr. Pablo Campra Madrid, a professor of chemical sciences at Spain's University of Almería. Dr. Campra said that a group of dissident researchers called the Fifth Column that have dedicated themselves to investigating these so-called vaccines that the government is trying to force on all of us actually contains graphene oxide. Dr. Campra said that he supports those findings. That group is called La Quinta Columna. Now, you remember way back early on when Dr. Jane Ruby was one of the first in America to break the findings of these dissident Spanish researchers. Now, Dr. Campra says that through all of his analysis of the vaccines, that he also has discovered graphene oxide structures within the vaccine samples. Now, he hypothesized that graphene oxide includes self-assembly technology so that it automatically forms into wireless nanosensors. That was big news here on the Stu Peters Show. But Dr. Campra isn't the only member. Other members are including the doctors and researchers from the Fifth Column, from La Quinta Columna directly, the first that were brave enough to reveal the graphene oxide findings. One of those members is Dr. Ricardo Delgado. Ricardo Delgado argues that the pandemic is fake, and what has been happening all along is just the use of military technology against the population. He argues that ionizing radiation is actually being broadcast from 5G cell towers to eradicate the population and activate the graphene oxide that's been injected into them with these shots being falsely referred to as safe and effective vaccines. It's a very interesting theory, to say the least, so we wanted to speak with him directly about it. This is the first time that Dr. Delgado has appeared on American media, and he joins us now alongside of his interpreter. First of all, thank you so much for being here. How did you start your investigation of these vials?
So first of all, we started with the observation and seeing that everything that was going on was not coherent. So we started observation and also the microscopes. So we find out that what they are saying is not coherent. It doesn't make sense. So when we started to see that the people who was vaxxed, they show a kind of a magnetism in their bodies. So we started to look for which material could be the one that could be causing that kind of effect. So when we had one of the vials, the Pfizer one was the first one. So we talked to Dr. Campra to analyze this vial and check what was inside of the vial. In the first inform that he made early in the last year, so he find out graphene oxide, but later on in the final inform that he just released on November of the last year, he saw that it was conclusive that he found out graphene oxide in four of the vials. It was AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Moderna.
Okay, so you determined that graphene oxide was in all four of these shots. Have you experienced any adverse side effects from being exposed to the vials while you're conducting your research?
No.
No, we know that the graphene oxide is
radio modulated material. So what it does, it absorbs all the radiation and then send it again. Is when it's inside of the body that it does all the damage, because it frees some free radicals inside the body. What it does is that collapse the immune system, and it makes the cytokines storm. That is what it makes the collapse in the body.
Yeah, the cytokine storm. So, Dr. Delgado, you hypothesize that the COVID-19, the pandemic, the illness itself is only a front. It's a fake. So, based on your investigations, what is the COVID-19 disease?
What it does, the graphene oxide in the vials, is amplify the signals of the 5G in the body from gigahertz to terahertz. So all the microchips that are also in the vaccines can work.
So what is the virus itself? Is there actually a virus?
It never existed. That's why not any institution can show any virus at all. It's not biotechnology or anything that has to be with medicine. It's more like technology in the body. It's more about the antennas, the 5G, and the microtechnology that are in the vials.
So we know that vaccinated people are getting sick because they're getting sick from the poisons that are contained in the vials. But how are unvaccinated people getting sick? What are they coming down with if there is no virus?
So people that is not, people is vaccinated, they can irradiate from like a kind of Bluetooth technology. So he can check in his cellular phone, or anybody can check in their cellular phone through the app, which is the people who is vaccinated that is close by. Those are his neighbors. They irradiate radiation. It's not about contamination. It's not a virus. It's radiation from people or from the antennas.
Is this why unvaccinated people are reporting that they are suddenly magnetized?
The graphene oxide, when it's inside of the body, they and it's connect with the hydroxin in the body, they make that magnetism in people, so they can irradiate that magnetism. And that's why when they saw the people were having like a different kind of objects, magnetic in the body, that they were, you know, like sticking in the body, like cellular phones, spoons, and everything. So that's why they started to look for graphene oxide.
Okay. I recently got sick. I had the set of symptoms that has been branded as COVID-19. I had a fever, I had a headache, I had the loss of taste and smell, my joints hurt, and I was fatigued. I'm clearly unvaccinated. So what did I have?
La radiación. So the radiations from the 5G towers are going higher and higher every single place in the world. And they are checking that with some instruments that some people have it. So, and they are trying to have that, to check that. They have it. They have the people who is sending to La Quinta Columna the reports that what's going on with the antennas. They're going higher and higher. So everybody gets sick or can be sick with the radiation, but the people who is vaxxed get more sick. The symptoms that you have mentioned before are the same as the ones are in the scientific papers from radiation.
I was treated with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and other things that we have come to discover help COVID patients to recover. Why did these things work for me if it was radiation I was exposed to?
The different things that you use, usually what they do is that they bring oxygen to the cell. And not only that, they can make function better the immune system. So that's why the antioxidants do the same. They make the people feel better.
So the natural God-given immune system will actually fight against radiation poisoning.
Efectivamente.
So yes, the radiation from the antennas, what they do is they provoke like a cellular killing. So if you keep all the antioxidants in your body, so it's going to help you, because what it does is compromise the immune system, the radiation.
Were you able to identify the components in the vials that you were investigating?
We're trying to identify with all the scientific papers that we are researching for. Some of the things that we are seeing in the vials, but right now we have some that are identified. Okay, he says that some of them are micro antennas, codecs, or systems of like encryption systems, and some other ones.
So they are microcomputers.
Yeah, we can say that. And we can also say that they are kind of like micro rotors, that they show some codes, MAC codes. That's what can you see when you do the Bluetooth thing with the app.
So many media outlets, basically every media outlet, after we reported the findings of La Quinta Columna, fact-checked the information and said that it was false. Now, the media is actually backing off of that narrative, and the vaccine manufacturers have basically admitted that graphene oxide is in these vials. It's basically common knowledge now that graphene oxide exists in these vials, thanks to your research. Has your safety or life been threatened since we reported your findings at La Quinta Columna?
Yes, some of the people who has been talking about what they found, they are found dead, like some people that know. There is two doctors, and the doctor Andreas Nowak, and there is another doctor, an Italian doctor, that he was searching and all that. And yeah, I have to take some care, you know, and some for myself. So the Italian doctor, he also find the same things, the graphene oxide and what we found out in the vaccines. And he was to report that to the European Parliament. But the thing is that he was found dead. Nobody knows what happened. And also the president of the European Parliament is dead now.
And these are people who were speaking out against these shots.
We know about the people who was talking about the graphene oxide. They were, yes, saying about that. And the Italian doctor, Domenico Biscardi, and Andreas Novak, who also died. And they were talking about graphene oxide in the vials.
Unbelievable. Your most recent pictures under the microscope, as you continue your research into these vials, they show something extremely alarming. Can you tell us what it is that we're looking at?
We initially were looking for graphene oxide, but with the time when we were looking about more stuff, we saw that the graphene oxide were evolutionating to something else. So he left some of the samples he had to dry. And when it happens, so with the days he was waiting for it to dry, he saw that it was a microparticles that assemble by themselves.
So early on, we had Dr. Carrie Madej on this program, who reported self-aware organisms, living creatures inside of these vials. Have you discovered those?
I personally are more about to think that this is biotechnology and not something that is life, like bio life things. More, it's not like biological, it's more like technological.
Has your research been replicated?
What we want is to initiate this investigation so another scientist around the world can do the same, but with a, you know, only with a microscope. We're just doing the basis so they can do more. So even Dr. Campra was threatened by the university. And another people from another laboratories, they don't want to do anything.
So Dr. Zandre Batha, who's a microscopy expert, provided us with images on the Stu Peters Show. We displayed them for the world to see. These images contained rings that appear to be oxygen bubbles. But Dr. Batha says these are not oxygen, but that they are part of the graphene structures that possibly you first reported on, and that they have connectors that connect them together. And she calls it nanotechnology. Is this supportive of your findings?
What we saw is something that is called by papers, scientific papers, microbubbles of graphene oxide. So what the same pharmacist said, they say that these are nanoparticles. So being nanoparticles, they wouldn't be able to show in the microscope.
A lot of people are going to question your credentials, Dr. Delgado. To your detractors, to the people who will try to minimize you, call you crazy and say that you don't know what you're talking about, to those people, what do you say?
So it's very simple. What I'm telling people, if they are thinking that I'm crazy, is just get a vial and put it under a microscope. That's it. And see by yourself what you're going to look for and what you're going to find. Even I'm in risk to say all this, just go under the microscope and see it by yourself.
Why do you think microscopy experts, scientists, and researchers around other parts of the world are not reporting the same findings that you are, with a few notable exceptions?
So probably because they have been threatened, or, you know, their lives are in risk, because probably the elite are going to go, you know, forward with the agenda.
What can other independent scientists around the world do to help if they're scared for their lives and refuse to even look at these vials? How do we stop this?
So first of all, what they have to do is go under a microscope and check what they have. And the samples they have to keep them apart and let them stand there and then see how they evolve, because they evolve with the time, and check them again. When independent scientists do the same thing in another parts of the world, so we are going to all say the same. So they are not going to hide what's going on right now.
Do you think that there's anything that will prevent these manufacturers from continuing to pump out poisonous and deadly injections?
We have to try so hard to stop this, because all the human species is one is in danger right now. If we can reverse what is going on now, and more people can be awake of what's going on and they understand what's going on, we can do what we have to do, reverse the whole thing.
Are there people, in your opinion, and I know that you're a scientist and you're reporting your findings, so I'm asking you to speculate, but are there people in high places that you believe are aware of exactly what it is that's going on, but yet they're just remaining silent?
Yeah, it probably would be like that. But probably they are waiting for more people to awake so they can be with them when they talk. The truth is right there. And the lie, you can see right there is a lie, because it doesn't have any coherence. So we're waiting for that moment.
You have shown us images. You have shown us proof. There is no denying that we're looking at these images. These images cannot be argued. They're indisputable. How can someone just say, you're lying? It's right there in front of the whole world to see. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And it's not also that. It's very sad because there is a lot of people who we love them and they are dying.
You have witnessed people die who have been trying to report these findings and bring awareness to the dangers of these shots. So you know that your life is at risk.
Lo sé.
I know what's going on. I understand that. I have a personal compromise on all this because I want to inform to humanity what's going on.
And it's for exactly that reason that we honor you and your bravery, and we thank you. And when God wins, your name and your research will be hailed as heroes. I'm convinced of that. The world owes you a great deal of gratitude for your selfless acts of bravery and heroism to reveal your findings despite the globalist elite trying to suppress your information.
Thank you very much for your words, Stu, because I'm very touched with what you're saying. But right now, what we have to do is keep researching and try to tell everybody what's going on. Later on, we can have some time for any honor or anything like that.
Shame on the Fox News Channel and CNN and all of the world media outlets that refuse to talk with you or report your findings. Their silence is deadly. And we refuse to be silent, and we honor you and thank you for your refusal to be silent as well. I have about 2 minutes left here, and I want to know what your final words are. The platform is yours.
So I hope that everything, the people that is not awake yet can understand what's going on, and all of the media has been brainwashing the people, so that's why they don't know and they don't understand what's going on. But I hope that all the truth that is big and is heavy shows, and everybody can know the truth.
Dr. Ricardo Delgado, thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Branch Covidians have turned our cities into super shedder capitals. The jab that becomes self-spreading bioweapons, threatening the purebloods.
I was incapacitated. I was literally laying down the entire day with a terrible migraine. I actually passed clots, which obviously is insanely alarming.
Clots?
Yes.
The clot shot is ending careers, detonating bombs in the brains of pilots.
Dozens, maybe north of 100 commercial airline pilots have died within just a few days of being vaccinated. Dead.
But don't despair. There's an answer to protect you and your kids from the chimerically engineered symptoms. Forget the forever boosters. Fortify your immune system today with the Z-Stack from Dr. Zev Zelenko. One pill formula taken twice a day. Everything you need to fight back against bioweapons, RSV, and influenza B. ZStackProtocol.com. Stock up now. Be prepared. Stand ready. ZStackProtocol.com.
Got to get over to redvoicemedia.com/premium. Again, redvoicemedia.com/premium. Become a premium user. You get an ad-free experience 100% of the time, exclusive behind-the-scenes content, extended interviews that I do every single Saturday. Plus, we're launching 3 new shows, Dr. Jane Ruby, Deanna Lorraine, and Richard Leonard with the veterans, military issues, and veterans culture. Dr. Jane, you know her, and then Shots Fired with Deanna Lorraine. Right now, we go to Carlos Cortez. He is our in-house financial expert, an independent fiduciary at Cortez Wealth Management. You had 40 people in your class on Tuesday night. That's excellent. People are getting valuable information from you. And now you're saying that the magic number is 7. I actually happen to like that. What's 7 all about?
Well, you're not going to like the lucky 7 that we all love, but unfortunately that's Joe Biden's inflationary number. We've lost 7% in bank accounts right now. Inflation is trickling over from December. Stu, this year we should be looking at another 6 or 7% for inflation when it comes to 2022. We're in hyperinflation, a hyperdigitization error, and we've never been in this type of situation since the 1980s. We've had prices of goods since the same as 1980s. If you want to talk to your parents of what the 1980s, what the cost of milk rows to, definitely have those conversations. Or you can simply just visit us at our webinar that we're going to have Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m., AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com.
Wait a minute, that's Tuesdays and Thursdays? So there's one today right after the show right now?
Yes.
Oh, right after the show, right now. Get to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. So you've got the never taxed retirement strategy and then all kinds of stuff. Listen, folks, this is a free class, a free class. Carlos hosts it himself. Get there right now. Book your spot because in just 1 minute here now. Cortez Wealth Management at AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Get in that class. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. You can do it in your boxer shorts with a glass of wine, with a beer, with your spouse, with your dog, on the couch, on the toilet. It doesn't matter, but just make sure that you're taking in this information that is free for all of the patriots at AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Carlos Cortez is a believing hero. That's for sure, because he's going to help you out. He's not one of these controlled and manipulated big banksters. Independent fiduciary that only does well if you do well. Thank you, Carlos Cortez. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. Maybe be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Big prayers for Scott Quiner. Call that hospital. Call those news agencies. The numbers are at Rumble and in my Telegram all over the place. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car. And when they do, save the radio.